From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Good morning, everyone. A very warm welcome to you as you join with me once again around the Word of God. I will be speaking from John chapter 21, verses 1 to 8, in just a few minutes. Have your Bible ready, please. May I give you a quick invitation to join me again at 3 o'clock this afternoon as we continue our consideration of that coming day when Christ will be admired by all the world. I look forward to your company then. Now here is a hymn which we'll play before turning to John 21 verses 1 to 8. It's the lovely hymn, Beneath the Cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. Our study today is entitled, A Miraculous Catch of Fish. We're looking at John 21, the verses 1 to 8. We are nearing the conclusion of this wonderful gospel, and in these opening verses of the final chapter, we read of the Saviour once more appearing to his disciples. Note, please, first of all, that after his resurrection, the Saviour did not company with his disciples in the fashion or form that he did prior to his death. Before the crucifixion, the Saviour was with his disciples, and they with him, virtually 24 hours a day. But since the resurrection, he had come to them, and then departed again. There was a showing of himself to them on different occasions. The word showed in verse 1 means to make visible. Christ is ever with his people, but he does not always manifest himself to them, even as it was here with the disciples. Because we cannot see the Lord does not mean that he is not present with his people. He is with you now, dear listener. if you are a true believer, one who rests in his work of atonement alone for salvation. I might add that the Saviour was with his disciples to provide for their every need. Here we have the Saviour providing a meal, a breakfast, for them. There is nothing that we partake of to our good from day to day, but is given us of God. All that we have is brought to our hand through the mercy of God, either by his direct bestowal or by the means of his blessing upon the labours of our hands. Christian, I hope that you fully understand and never forget that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James chapter 1 verse 17. Secondly, I would remind you afresh of the social standing of those used by God to the evangelizing of the world. See these men laboring and toiling for the means to feed themselves and their families. They were laboring men, honestly toiling for their daily bread. The picture of these men at work contrasts greatly with the image of the modern Christian leader, who is oftentimes surrounded by opulence and wealth. The disciples of Christ, by and large, had been fishing when Christ called them, and now, as he appears to them just before ascending to his Father, we find them still labouring at that trade. Indeed, we have an incident in the life of Paul which shows us that the apostles kept themselves by such labours throughout their days of gospel service. In Acts chapter 18 and the verses 1-3 we read, "After these things Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius, the Roman emperor, had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers." Here was the most illustrious of the apostles, labouring with his hands for his daily bread. Again, I say, how different from the modern image of an ecclesiastical leader. The gospel was planted throughout the known world in the first century AD by men who had neither the social standing or the financial backing that one would assume such a venture required. Their success was not down to what they were or what they possessed, but to the divine enabling of them to preach the word of God to the conversion of sinners. The work and its triumph was of God, and owed nothing to man's skills or brilliance, but owed everything to the preaching of the cross in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, we have here further testimony of the diversity of character amongst the disciples. John and Peter are in the same boat fishing when Christ appears on the shore. "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea." Verse 7. It is likely that John was aided in recognizing the Lord by the words that he spoke, for he had appeared to them in such a fashion that they did not at first recognize him. What the Saviour says here was virtually a repeat of what he had said on an earlier occasion. Verse 6 reads, "And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes." Compare that with Luke chapter 5 and the verse 4. "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught." I have no doubt that John made the link between the stranger on the seashore and this earlier command of his beloved master, and thereby recognized the Lord Jesus. But while John was the quick-witted youth who first recognized the Saviour, it was Peter, the man of action, who leaped into the sea and made his way ashore to greet the Lord. This feature in Peter's character, his passionate and immediate response to situations that developed, is recorded again and again for us to note in the Gospel. John, on the other hand, being younger, hesitates here as he did at the empty tomb, chapter 20, verses 5 to 6. Because other Christians do not share our standpoint or our priorities, let us not consider them any less a Christian because of that. All who are truly converted are members of Christ's church, but, as it is with our body, all members do not function in the same way. The eye does not detect smell, as does the nose, nor does the ear see, as does the eye, but all members, though diverse, are equally important. So is it with believers in the Church of Christ. Finally, note that we have further proof of the reality of the resurrection of Christ in these verses. Here is Christ appearing on the shore of Galilee before the eyes of seven of the disciples. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Verse 2. Here we find him sitting, and conversing, and eating with them. The one with whom they had fellowship for 3 years sits amongst them again. They could not be deceived or deluded as to his identity. What proof we have here of the fact of the resurrection of Christ. Peter was to later state, "We did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead." Acts chapter 10, verse 41. The resurrection of Christ is not something that skeptics and rejectors can explain away. Men may stout-heartedly reject the truths of the gospel, but it's not because of any lack of proof that they do so, but rather a determination on their part not to believe the record God has given us. The fact that Christ has risen from the dead has very great significance for every Christian. Peter puts the matter like this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We have a lively, or a living, hope because Christ has risen from the dead, therefore we will also rise from the dead at his coming. Death could not and did not hold Christ, and it will not hold those whose redemption he obtained at Calvary. Rejoice, Christian, in this blessed certainty. If you are not saved and have no hope, then hasten to Christ today and embrace him as your Savior. Heed these words. Please join me at 3 o'clock this afternoon. God bless you, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here, and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.